1. Very familiar verses. We'd like to read verses 3 through verse 14. There's much here, more than can be covered in one service. We've preached from this many times. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we, the chosen, should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath abounded, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. In verses 1 and 2, we didn't read those verses, but that is the salutation to the letter. And following the salutation, it's like Paul can hardly contain himself, and with much passion and enthusiasm, and no doubt with a heart overflowing with amazement and awe and joy and thanks, he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's a word of praise. And what follows is Paul praising the Lord. Three times in these verses, he makes a similar expression of praise. In verse 6, he says, "To the praise of the glory of his grace." In verse 12, "That we should be to the praise of the glory of his glory." And then in verse 14, "Unto the praise of his glory." And what he's talking about throughout these verses is being saved. And the thought of being saved, of course, was something that excited Paul. It was something that he stood in wonder of, something that he marveled about. It was something that simply overwhelmed Paul. And in our text, we see that Paul is delighting. He's enjoying, he's praising God for the blessings of salvation. Again in verse 3, "Blessed be God." And then verse 6, verse 12, 14, also words of praise. What these verses reveal is that Ephesians 1 is not just a mere documentation of Paul's theology concerning salvation, but again, it's Paul praising the Lord for his salvation. It is a hymn of praise from the heart of one who has been saved. Well, what Paul is saying here is that we the saved, have been blessed beyond measure. And that will be our subject this evening, blessed beyond measure. Again, we need to view these words as words of praise, words of thanksgiving, words of one who is excited about salvation. So the first point we want to realize tonight is that the saved are spiritually blessed of God. We see the greatness of these blessings. We see the significance of these blessings in verse 3, and we see them in a fourfold way. The greatness of the blessings is signified by the fact that God is the bestower of the blessings. Notice again, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and then two very important words, "who hath." Not "we have," "he has." So it's "blessed be God who hath," who hath blessed. All the blessings that are spoken of in this text come from God. God is the source of all these blessings. None of the blessings that are mentioned are attributed to man in any way. None of these blessings are due to man's birth. They are not due to man's will. They are not due to the ability of man. And they certainly are not due to so-called human worth. The blessings that are mentioned are not the product of man. They are not the product of reformation. They are not the product of man's self-determination. They are all the work of God. They are all the product of God. And every single aspect of our salvation, no matter what area of salvation you look at, God is the source. It is all the work of God. It is entirely 100% of God. So it's "blessed be God who hath blessed us." Again, everything here in those words, everything is attributed to God. He gets all the praise. He gets all the honor. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit. He gets all the recognition in the salvation of souls. Man is not to get any of the glory. Man is not to get any of the honor. Man is not to get any of the credit. It all goes to God. And I believe it's blasphemy, and I believe it's a profaning of the name of God and the character of God to give credit to man, to give honor to man, to give glory to man, to even give recognition to man when it comes to the blessings of salvation. Everything here is attributed to God. So that alone shows the greatness of the blessings. Also showing the greatness of the blessings are the recipients of the blessings. "Blessed be God who hath blessed us." And all through these verses that we have read, we see those pronouns over and over, "us" and "we." And it's referring to ungodly, unrighteous, wicked, filthy, vile, wretched, abominable, rebellious, and on and on and on we could go. Guilty, depraved, hell-deserving sinners. These are the recipients of the blessings. So the very recipients of the blessings makes this a great wonder, makes this shows the greatness of the blessings. We also see the extent of the blessings. "Blessed be God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." And the word "all" there, of course, speaks of quantity. It speaks of the extent. Every single blessing of salvation flows from God and is bestowed upon the spiritually dead, the spiritually depraved, the spiritually deceived, the spiritually disobedient, the defiled, and the doomed. So we see the extent it covers all the blessings of salvation. We're not dealing here with material blessings. We're dealing with spiritual blessings. And it covers all the spiritual blessings. Fourthly, we see the type of the blessings. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So the blessings being spoken of are spiritual. And the blessings being spoken of are heavenly. That is, they pertain to heaven. They pertain to heavenly things. And may I say, heavenly blessings are always greater than earthly blessings. We ought to be thankful for all of our earthly blessings. In fact, many times we misidentify our earthly blessings. Many times what we think is a bad thing is really a blessing. But we ought to be thankful for earthly blessings. But no earthly blessing compares to a single spiritual blessing. And this is why the child of God can always rejoice, because they always have these spiritual blessings that we're about to mention. So these are spiritual blessings. These are heavenly blessings. They are higher than any earthly blessing. They are more extensive than any earthly blessing. They are more secure than any material blessings. God can bless you materially today, and God can remove it tomorrow. But with these blessings concerning salvation, these are eternal blessings. These are the rarest of blessings. Not everyone is blessed with these blessings. Only certain individuals are blessed with these blessings. These are the most enduring of all blessings. So these are blessed. They are spiritual, they are heavenly, and therefore they cannot be measured. You cannot measure spiritual blessings. You cannot measure heavenly blessings. You cannot measure the blessings of salvation. So we see here in verse 3, we see the greatness of the blessings, and we see it there in a fourfold way. Then we want to see a summation of the blessings. Following verse 3, after he states that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he begins to mention specific blessings of salvation. Now, before each of these blessings, we can put those words, "Blessed be God who hath," and then whatever the blessing is, "Blessed be God who hath." Notice, first of all, in verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us." Blessed be God who hath chosen us. We see here it's before the foundation of the world. There's no choosing going on now. The choice has already been made. It was made before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means before creation. Holy, impeccable God chose. What does that mean? Well, what does it mean to choose something? When you choose something, you do what? You select it. You select it. When you choose something, you pick it out. So when it says that God hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that means God selected us before the foundation of the world. It means that God picked us out from before the foundation of the world. He chose us. That is, he chose us to himself. He chose a sinful, ungodly people with no righteousness of their own. He chose a vile and rebellious people who were guilty and who were hell deserving, and he chose them unto himself. Now in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we read, "God hath from the beginning," which is the same as before the foundation of the world, "God hath from the beginning," notice again it is God hath. God hath. God is doing the work here. God hath from the beginning chosen, selected, picked out you. Two, this states the purpose of the choosing. Two, salvation. In other words, God, before the foundation of the world, picked you, selected you to be saved. We go on. He elected. 1 Peter 1, verse 2, we read, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Elect. What does that word mean? Well, when we elect someone, it means that we have determined in their favor. You vote for someone. You determine in their favor. So when we read of the elect, it is referring to those whom God has determined in their favor. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So we are chosen. We are elect. We read also in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 that we are appointed. We see it from the negative aspect. But it says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to. So God has not appointed us to wrath, but He has appointed us to something. And what is it? To obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way salvation can be obtained. Election does not do away with the way of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We also read in Acts 13 and verse 48 that He ordained them. We read in Acts 13, 48 of those who were ordained to eternal life. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath chosen us before the foundation of the world. Considering the fact that we are chosen of God, we can join in with Paul in saying, blessed be God. We see also, blessed be God, who hath not only chosen, but in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Not only chosen, but predestined unto the adoption of children. Here we are deserving of God's eternal condemnation. Yet we have been predestined. That is, our destiny has been predetermined. What is that destiny? To be the children of God. We were chosen. We were predestined to be the children of God. Before I was ever born, my destiny was to be His child. That was predetermined. Predetermined by God. And notice in verse 5 that this was according to the good pleasure of His will. Someone will say, well, I just can't figure out why He chose me, why He predestined me. It tells you right there. According to the purpose, or according to the good pleasure of His will. Simply because He wanted to. Not because of anything in us. Not because of our family tree. Because our family tree is filled with rebels against God. Our family tree is filled on every branch with those who are enemies of God. Our family tree has nothing to do with it. It's according to the good pleasure of His will. So we've been chosen. We've been predestined. Considering that, we can again join with Paul in saying, blessed be God, who hath chosen and who hath predestinated. Not only chosen and predestinated, But notice verse 6. Blessed be God who hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We were gross offenders of God. But we have been made. God hath made us accepted. We did not make ourselves acceptable. No human individual made you acceptable. God hath made us accepted. So we who were offenders of God are now accepted by God. We who were the enemies of God are now accepted by God. We who were ungodly rebels against God are now accepted by God. We who were guilty, we who had no righteousness of our own, are now accepted. And I mean, we can just spend the rest of the evening just thinking about that word accepted. What a wonderful word. Accepted. Accepted by God. Blessed be God. Verse 3, blessed be God who hath. That brings us to verse 6 again. Hath made us accepted in the Beloved. So blessed be God who hath not only chosen, predestinated us, making us acceptable, but notice verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Chosen, predestinated, accepted, redeemed. Redeemed. You see, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to Satan. We were slaves to the flesh. We were slaves to the world. We were trapped in darkness. Besides that, we were rotten. We were vile. We were miserable. We were helpless. We were hopeless. We had minds that could never know God, and wills that would never, ever choose God. Wills that would never cause us to come to God. Everything about us was imprisoned. Yet God came and bought us. Redeeming is twofold. There is a buying and there is a delivering. We are redeemed. He bought us. Not only did He buy us, but whoever He bought, He is also going to rescue and release and loose from the slave market. And again, considering that we have been redeemed from the slave market, why would you ever want to go back to the slave market? Considering that you've been redeemed from the slave market, we join in with Paul in saying, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Don't give that credit to anyone else. All that credit goes to God. We see also in verse 7, again verse 3, blessed be God who hath not only chosen, not only predestinated us, not only made us accepted and redeemed us, but it says in verse 7 that He forgave us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In other words, the mountain of sin has been removed. It's been covered. It's been blotted out. It's been cleansed. It's been washed away. Forgiven. Considering this, we again join in with Paul in saying, blessed be God. Again, verse 3, blessed be God who hath not only chosen us, not only predestinated us and made us accept it and redeemed us and forgave us. But he has abundantly blessed us. It says in verse 8, in verse 7, we see we have the forgiveness of sins, and this is according to the riches of his grace. Is there any end? And can you measure the riches of God's grace? That's immeasurable. And he goes on in verse 8, wherein his grace he hath abounded. So he has the richness of his grace, and he hath abounded toward us. Who's the us? Well, it's the chosen. It's the predestinated. It's the accepted. It's the redeemed. It's the forgiven. He hath abounded toward us. And he's done so in all wisdom and prudence. God has abundantly. When it says he hath abounded toward us, that's just another way of saying God has abundantly blessed us. So abundantly he has blessed us in salvation that we cannot even begin to measure the blessings of God. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more. Grace did much more abound. So blessed be God who hath blessed us plentifully, lavishly. And considering this, again, we join in with Paul in saying, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God who hath not only chosen us, predestinated us, made us accept it, redeemed us, forgave us, and bestowed his blessings abundantly upon us, but he's also enlightened us. Verse 9. Having made known. Who made it known? God did. This is everything God has done. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And we've said many times before, if a mystery is made known, it's no longer a mystery. He hath made known unto us the chosen, the predestinated. He hath made known unto us. In other words, he hath enlightened us. He hath enlightened us. We know things that very few in the world know. That is not attributed to our intelligence. It is not attributed to our education. It is attributed to this. He made known to us. He hath made known unto us. So once again, we have to join in when we consider that. Consider that we can open this book and we can grasp what it says. There are very few today who can open this book and have any grasp at all of what it says. But he hath enlightened us. Considering that, we have to say, blessed be God. You can sit down and you can try to show someone truth from the Word of God. To you and I who have been enlightened, it's black and white, it's as plain as the noonday sun. But they don't see it. And it's not because of a lack of intelligence. It is because sin has blinded their eyes. And when we walk away from such conversations, we should not feel high and mighty that we know something. But we ought to walk away saying, blessed be God who hath enlightened, who hath shown it to me. And then pray that God would show it to them, because that's the only way they're going to see it. Blessed be God who hath not only chosen us, predestinated us, made us accepted, redeemed us, forgave us, abundantly blessed us, and has enlightened us, but we also have an inheritance in verse 11. In whom also, love that word also, that means in addition to all these other immeasurable blessings, we have also have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. It is said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, concerning this inheritance, that it is incorruptible. That is, it's indestructible. It can't be destroyed. It is undefiled. That is, it's pure. There's no flaw in it. It is pure. And that fadeth not away. That speaks of its beauty. Everything in this earth, beauty fades away. But we have an inheritance that fadeth not away. It's as beautiful now as it's ever been. And then we see it's reserved in heaven for you. That is, it's booked in heaven for you. Not only is the inheritance reserved for us, but we are reserved for the inheritance, or we are preserved for the inheritance. In other words, we are secure. But we have an inheritance. And considering our inheritance, we can say, we can join in with Paul, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God who hath not only chosen us, not only predestinated us, not only made us accepted and redeemed us and forgave us and abundantly blessed us and enlightened us and caused us to obtain an inheritance, but we have security. We have security. And may I say, those who fight against what we read here in Ephesians 1 have no right to believe in eternal security. God is the foundation of eternal security. Now notice in verse 13, in whom, referring to Christ, you also trusted. After that, you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then he tells us what that word of truth is, the gospel of your salvation. Then notice, in whom also, after that ye believed, there's that word also again, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A seal guarantees delivery. He goes on to say, which is, the which, referring back to the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the deposit of our inheritance. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And that is God's deposit, guaranteeing. It is the earnest payment, guaranteeing our inheritance. Until we are sealed, the Holy Spirit of promise, until the redemption, the deliverance of the purchased possession. That's us. Unto the praise of His glory. When we consider our security, again, we have to join in with Paul and say, blessed be God. Blessed be God. He's chosen us, predestinated us, made us accepted, redeemed us, forgave us, abundantly blessed us. He's enlightened us. He's caused us to obtain an inheritance. And we have security. But we're also the objects of His power. If you go all the way down to verse 19, we didn't read this in our text. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward? The exceeding greatness of His power to usward. Who believe? Who believe? According. We believe according to the working of His mighty power. That is, you cannot believe absent from the working of His mighty power. Now, what is the degree of the working of His mighty power? Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, who hath believed according to the working of His mighty power. The very same power that worked in raising Christ from the grave, that very same power is required for you and I to believe. It's also the very same power that caused Him to ascend and to sit down at the right hand of God. So we have a summation of the blessings of the Lord. Now consider briefly how these blessings come about. We know God is the bestower of them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. As you read through here, it becomes abundantly clear that these spiritual and heavenly blessings are brought about according to God's plan. They are brought about by God's own will. They are brought about by God's own purpose. They are brought about by the design of God. You and I that are saved are saved by the will, the purpose, and the design of God. Notice verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, the very word predestined implies a plan to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Sounds like a plan. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh, who continues to work all things after the counsel of His own will. So all of these blessings that we've mentioned are according to the purpose of God. All by the design of God. In other words, God had a plan, still does, to save sinners. That plan was in force before there ever was a sinner. Before creation, before the foundation of the world. God had a plan to save sinners. God had a Redeemer. And that plan included me. So we join in with Paul and say, blessed be God. God had a plan. If you have a plan to save sinners, how? Here's a sinner. He's at enmity with God. He has no use for God. He hates God. He flees from God. How's this sinner going to come to God? Well, God had a plan to call that sinner and to draw that sinner to Himself. And again, that plan included me. He had a plan to impart spiritual life to dead sinners. He had a plan to redeem enslaved sinners. He had a plan of reconciliation for His enemies. He had a plan to accept the unacceptable, to accept those who could never be accepted in and of themselves. He had a plan. He had a plan to justify the condemned and wash the filthy. Blessed be God for the plan of salvation. Secondly, we see that we are blessed according to God's grace. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Wherein, referring to grace, He hath made us accepted. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Verse 7, we see it is according to the riches of His grace. Verse 8, wherein grace He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In other words, all of these blessings, we didn't earn them. We didn't merit them. We could never deserve being chosen. Never. We could never deserve to be predestined to be the sons and the daughters of God. We could never deserve being accepted by God, being redeemed, being forgiven, and all these other things that we've mentioned. No, we are blessed according to grace. And then lastly, not only blessed according to plan and according to grace, but we are blessed because of another. Every aspect of salvation is through and in Christ. That is made so clear in our text verses. Again, verse 3, we see that we are chosen, or verse 4, chosen in Him, Christ, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And you can go on, we've run out of time, but you read verse 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 12, 13. And it's all in Him. Accepted in Him. That's the only way you and I can ever be accepted. Is in Him. In Him. So we are blessed of God with spiritual and heavenly blessings. Not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. Not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done. Not because of anything that we'll ever do, but again, because of what Christ has done and will continue to do. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, all because of another. Salvation has, in the so-called religious world, been so diluted that it means nothing. It's no longer a wonder. I mean, the salvation that is preached today, repeat this prayer, there's nothing amazing about that. Nothing amazing about repeating a prayer. When God comes into your prison house and breaks the chains of sin, now we're talking something amazing. Salvation is always amazing. And there is a salvation for those who have transgressed the laws of God. There is salvation for rebellious sinners. Rebellious sinners covered with the filth and vileness of sin. There is salvation for such. There is salvation for the unrighteous. There is salvation for the unworthy. There is salvation for the undeserving. There is salvation for sinners at enmity with God. For sinners that are unacceptable to God. Oh, how many times people say, well, I'm trying to make myself better, and then you need to grasp this truth. You can never make yourself acceptable to God. Never. Never. Even your best efforts are filthy rags before God. But there is salvation for unacceptable sinners. There is salvation for sinners perishing in their sins. Why? God. God hath. And all because of another, Jesus Christ. And I believe in heaven. And that's another thing. Heaven has been so, I don't even know what word to use, made to be earthly, that it's no longer heaven. You know, well, all my loved ones are going to be there. That's not what heaven's about. And there's all kinds of things. But in heaven, every story will be the same. That is, everyone in heaven will point to the throne and say, there sits the reason why I'm here. Jesus Christ. And all knees and all tongues. All knees will bow and all tongues will praise Him. So, considering all this, we join in with Paul and say, blessed be God. He gets all the praise, all the glory. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. How wonderful it is to know who it is that saved your soul. When the day the Lord saved me, I had no idea what really happened. I have had no theology concerning salvation. But the more we read God's word about salvation, the more wonderful it becomes. When you look at the plan that God had to save sinners, and to be included in that plan is a wonderful, wonderful thing that is beyond any words. Blessed be God who hath. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.